We're in the middle of discussing the topic of Hanukkah a little bit, and the Torah portion that we read on Hanukkah, Parshas Miketz, and also the topic of Birkas HaMazon. These are the three topics we're going to have in today's shiur. Rav Nosson Zal makes a closing remark on the topic of Hanukkah, which we spoke about, and again, this is all based on chapter 40 in the second half of Likut Imran, which speaks about Eretz Yisrael, Rosh Hashanah, and coming to the Tzaddik for Rosh Hashanah. V'zeh b'chinas hatzdokah shenoisnim b'chanukah. Everything we've been learning here is tied into the special inyan of giving charity on Chanukah. The Shulchan Aruch says that Chanukah is a time when the aniyim go around to the homes to collect charity. B'shvil esakein taivas momoim. This is in order to repair and correct the wrong type of obsession with money. Lahamshich b'chinas hashefa kfula, and to be able to draw upon ourselves that double portion, hanimshach me'eretz Yisrael, which comes from Eretz Yisrael, sheshom mekoyer habracha. That's the center of blessing for the whole world. We mentioned the pasuk, Lochein Boartzom Mishne Yirshu. Therefore, in their land, they will inherit Mishne. Mishne means double. Interesting to note that the word bracha, the Hebrew word bracha, means double. The beis is two, the resh is two, and the chaf is two, the root of the word bracha. So the concept of bracha is a concept of this double portion. Shezeo b'chinas ha-shemen shel Chanukah. And this is also related to the oil that we use for the Chanukah menorah on Chanukah. B'chinas v'shemen al roishcho al yechsar. There's a pasuk in Koheles where it says that the oil on your head should never be lacking. This concept of never lacking, al yechsar. Rav Nosson Zal says, al yechsar daiko. Dahainu she'ein sham shum chisoroin. When a person is connected to Eretz Yisrael properly, when a person is connected to the Tzaddik, to Shabbos, like we learned before, that person never feels any lack whatsoever. Bechinas, as we find in the miracle that Elisha Navi performed with the woman who didn't have any money, and he asked her, do you have anything? She said she had a little bit of oil. He said, good. Go borrow as many vessels as you can from all of your neighbors and start pouring, start filling these vessels. And the pasuk says there, tzapachas hashemen loy sechsar, that the oil will not be lacking. It won't stop. Ki hashemen hu bechinas moichen, because we know the Sifrei Kabbalah and the Sifrei Chassidus emphasize that oil represents sechel. The brain is compared to a candle, a light, and the seichel is what fuels it. Bechinas shemen mishchas kodesh, the holy oil that was used to anoint all the vessels in the Beis Hamikdash and to anoint kings. V'al yidei hamoyach v'hadas ein choser la'odom shum chisorin. And when a person has a healthy brain and healthy seichel, that person is not lacking anything at all. K'moshom Razal, we have the famous Gemara in Adorim that says, Im das koniso ma chosarto. If you have acquired das, what are you lacking? You are not lacking anything at all. V'ze bi'atzmoi b'chinas hanes shel Chanukah. And this itself is the concept of the miracle of Chanukah, shenishlach brocha b'ma'at hashemen shedolak shmoino yomim, that Hashem was able to put in a blessing into that small little bit of oil that was less than a day's supply, that it should be able to burn for 8 days. Hainu b'chinas brocha v'shefa kfula. This is the concept of blessing, that double portion, hanimshach me'eretz Yisrael, which we draw from Eretz Yisrael. Ki b'chanukah anu oiskin lahamshich kedushas Eretz Yisrael kanal. Because on Chanukah, one of our goals is to draw upon ourselves the holiness of Eretz Yisrael, as we explained in the previous year. Now Rav Nosson Zal goes back to speaking about the Torah portion that we read usually on Shabbos Chanukah, Parshas Miketz. We spoke about it in the previous year, and Rav Nosson Zal is going to make additional remarks. Vezehu vayhi miketz shnosayim yomim uparei cholim. And this is why the Parsha begins with that it was at the end of two additional years that Yosef HaTzadik had to stay in prison because he put his trust in a human being. Because he asked the Sar HaMashkim, don't forget me, remember me. So the Pasuk, and Paroi dreamed. Rav Nosson Zal says, miketz. Miketz means at the end of. And this term, ketz, is used in several psukim throughout the Torah. Rav Nosson Zal says, miketz zebechinas taivas momoim. That represents the wrong type of obsession and desire for money. Bechinas, as the Pasuk says in Eov, ketz som lachoshech. Hashem, there'll come a time when Hashem will put an end to the darkness. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, what darkness is it talking about? Do zuamo de dahava. This is the tuma of gold, the tuma of money, the negative aspect of money. As the Zohar HaKadosh speaks about this in Parshas Miketz over there. Hainu taivas mamoin. This refers to that wrong type of desire for money. Shehu b'chinas choyshech, anpen chashuchen, morosh choyra, atzvus, which is referred to as darkness, bitterness, depression. B'chinas, as the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, mar ben achosim, mar bedaiga. The more wealth of this type of wealth that a person acquires, the more worries they have, the more unhappy they are. Because the person is always feel that the more they have, the more money they have, the more debt they get into. Because again, if you have $1 million, the bank is willing to lend you $3 million. If you have $10 million, they're willing to lend you $30 million. And most people make the mistake. Oh, wow, I can buy this, I can buy that. And they raise the bar of their life. More expensive car, more expensive everything, more expensive, and suddenly it's not enough. It's never enough. Rachmana l'Islam. Kamo shekosav Rabbeinu Zal kol zeh b'hatoyrot tzivi satzedek b'simen chav gimel ayin shom. As Rabbeinu Zal elaborates on this in chapter 23 in Likutei Moran, that's one of the most significant chapters in Likutei Moran where Rabbeinu Zal really explains this topic of taivas momoin. V'zeh, and this is why the Pasuk says, Shnosayim Yomim, two years. Shana means two, and Shnosayim is plural, two years of days. Rav Nosson Zal says, Zebechinas Pigam Meraglim. This is alluding again to the mistake that the Meraglim made, who spoke against Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar Bohem, where the Torah tells us that their punishment was, Yoim Lashona, Yoim Lashona, that for every day that they spent on that mission, 40 days, the punishment was 40 years of wandering around in the desert. Kama Shapirshu Rabbeinu Zal, as Rabbeinu Zal points out in chapter 54 in Likutei Moran, quoting the Gemara on this pasuk, Ki al yidei pegam hamaraglim, dahainu pegam Eretz Yisrael, Mishom Nimshach Taivas Mamun Kanal. Because it's as a result of the sin of the Meraglim, who spoke against Eretz Yisrael, they showed disrespect to Eretz Yisrael, so they lost out on the benefit, on the blessing of Eretz Yisrael. That's where Taivas Mamun comes from. Ki Hamamun Nikro Regel. The Meraglim were called Meraglim. Meraglim means spies, and money is also referred to in the Torah as the feet of a person. Kama Shekosov Rabbeinu Zal, as Rabbeinu Zal quotes this pasuk in Likutei Moran, chapter 69, the pasuk which says, Ves kol hayikum asher baraglehem, and that which stands them up on their feet. And the Gemara says, Ze memoinoi shelodom, that's the money of a person that stands them up on their feet. So we see the association between money and the regel. So again, the Meraglim, who were poigim in Eretz Yisrael, which is the source of blessing, money that's blessed, money that satiates and satisfies, the pigam causes taivas mamon, that insatiable desire for money, for wealth. And now Rav Nosson Zal explains further, V'alkein, elu hamishrukoim betaivas mamon nikroim meraglim. And this is why one of the nicknames for these people that are steeped in this obsession for money is meraglim. Why? Kinoisim tomed lamerchakim, because they're always traveling. They're always running around. They always have umeraglim umeshoytetim b'chol oretz b'shvil mamon. They're always running around the whole country or the whole world looking for money, looking for ways to make money. Ve'enam maminim b'Hashem Yisborach sheyuchal lahazmin lehem parnasosam b'mekaymam b'li tircha. And they don't believe that Hashem has the ability, the capability of providing the parnasa that you need in your place, in your city, without any excessive effort, without any tircha, without working 18 hours a day. Person works, puts in a normal day's work, Hashem can provide for all of their needs. Kemoy hamaraglim, just like the maraglim, shaloi heminu b'Hashem Yisborach, sheitin l'meretz Yisrael, who didn't believe that Hashem would be able to give the Jewish nation Eretz Yisrael, shehi mekoyer habrochais, which is the source of all blessing, beloi derech hateva klal. And Hashem does not have to operate within the limitations of teva, nature whatsoever. I don't care if there's 30 nations there, I don't care about... If Hashem says, I'm going to give you this land, you're going to get that land. There's no question about it. Va'amru, they said, the Meraglim said, Sheroitzim dafka l'ragel es ha'oretz, that first we have to check it out. We have to see, is it? We have to do a feasibility study to see, can this be done? Can it not be done? Lichboish Eretz Yisrael, in order to conquer Eretz Yisrael, Mekoyer HaBrocha, which is the source of all blessing, Al Pi Derech HaTeva, they wanted to operate based on the norms, the natural norms. K'moy Sharakum, just like other nations, Shesholchem Meraglim L'Mekoy Mishroitzim L'Koyvshom, before a nation conquers a land, they have to first check it out. Avol Be'emes, but the truth is, Anu tzrichin lehamin b'Hashem. We have to believe in Hashem and trust Hashem. Sheyich bo yishlanu Eretz Yisrael b'loy meraglim klal. That Hashem will help us conquer Eretz Yisrael without any spies, without any feasibility studies. Ukemoikein, and similarly, elu hameshukoim b'tayvas mamon, those people who are steeped in this obsession about money, umesaknim atzmon besakonas drochim, and they put their life in danger by traveling to all kinds of places, very often where there's danger involved. Venoisim lemerchakim, they travel to all kinds of distant places. Remember, during Rav Nosson Zal's time, there were no airplanes, cars. People traveled by horse and wagon, you know, to other countries, and by ship, by boat. Umeshoytetin umeraglim esoretz, and they travel and they spy out the land. Ke'ilu chas v'sholom ein Hashem Yisborach yochol liten lehem birkas hashirusam bebeisam. As if Hashem cannot give them the blessing of wealth in their own home, in their own hometown. Nimtza? So we conclude, therefore, shehameshukoyim b'momoyim, that those people are steeped in this wrong attitude about money, nikroim meraglim. They're also called meraglim. They're spies, and they're people who walk a lot, they travel a lot. Ki be'emes ikar pigam taivas momoyim nimshach mi pigam hameraglim. Because Rav Nosson Zal says, in truth, this plague that we suffer with today, this obsession about money, goes all the way back to the pigam of the meraglim, shehu pigam Eretz Yisrael. That by speaking against Eretz Yisrael, by damaging our connection to Eretz Yisrael, that's why Jews are struggling financially today. That's why we have this whole problem. And the more we show respect and love for Eretz Yisrael, the more Hashem will show that He's capable of financing everything. Look at the situation we're in today. The dollar is dropping against the shekel substantially. And again, the economy, you look at Eretz Yisrael, you can't believe it. You can't believe the bracha, the IT, the bracha that Hashem, this is bechurbana, this is before Mashiach comes, before we have the Beis HaMikdash. And yet if a person, and construction everywhere, neighborhoods, Ramat Beit Shemesh exploding, Yerushalayim expanding, Bali Ayin Hara, all of this, this is in our worst time, this is in darkness. Imagine when Hashem turns on the lights, how the world will see how Eretz Yisrael is really the Mekor HaBracha, and that Hashem has the ability, the capability to provide. I remember Reb Moshe Burstein, Zichron Levracha, many, many religious people in Yerushalayim, in Me'er Shorim, that area, know that when they have to marry off children, they have to go to Chutz Laretz to try to collect the money, to raise the money to do it. Or if a person opens a kollel or a shul or a yeshiva, they have to go to Chutz Laretz. Now we know the Zohar HaKadosh explains that the source of Shefa is Eretz Yisrael. However, when we have no Beis HaMikdash, when we've sinned, when we're in exile, what happens is the cup has a hole in it. Eretz Yisrael is the cup into which Hashem pours the Shefa. When we commit sins, when we're unworthy, the cup has a hole in it, so the Shefa, that what gets poured into cup, runs out into the saucer, into the plate under it, which is the rest of the world. So that those people that go to Chutz Laretz to raise money for Eretz Yisrael, they're really trying to bring back the money, the Shefa of Eretz Yisrael. The Zohar HaKadosh says that. But Rav Nosson Zal tells us here, and I saw this by Rav Moshe Burstein, Zichron Levracha, and certain other individuals who made a decision. I am in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the eyes of Hashem. This is the place of bracha. I am not going to Chutz Laretz, not for money, for anything. And they were successful. Rav Moshe Burstein succeeded in running a kollel for maybe 60 years, 60, 70 years, and in building a shul, acquiring a property to have a shul in Katamon at first, and then later on in Gush Monim, in the neighborhood that I live, and marrying off all of his children, never leaving Eretz Yisrael. He would go around in Eretz Yisrael. He didn't have a car, he didn't have a driver, he would take buses all over Eretz Yisrael, and again, it wasn't just raising money. Wherever he went, he left a bracha. Just looking at his face was an incredible bracha, was an inspiration. Any person who was zecha to see his face was inspired with emuna, with love for Hashem, with love for Yiddishkeit, and speaking to him or having any contact with him also was an incredible bracha, you know, to all those that did. But we see a person makes a decision, I'm not going out. I'm staying here, and Hashem can provide. And the person is religious. We're talking about a person who davens with kavana, who learns Torah, who lives a truly religious life. The person can see clearly the bracha of Hashem, that they don't have to go far. We know that when Hashem gave the man to the Jews in the Midbar, we're told that there were three categories. The tzaddikim had the man delivered at their doorstep. Every day, at the opening of their tent, they didn't have to look for it, they didn't have to go anywhere for it. The Rishoyim, the people who didn't have Emunah, also received man, but every day it was in a different place. They had to go searching for it, to search to find their man, and every day when it was a different place. The Beinonim, the intermediate category, their man was delivered every day in the same place, but they had to go out to get it. So we see that there are these three choices. A person has to choose, we have to choose, which category do we want to be in? Do we want to be chas v'shalom rishoyim, not believe in Hashem? Do we want to believe in Hashem completely? Do we want to attach ourselves to the tzaddik? The tzaddik and those who are attached to him, they receive this double portion, this bracha. And again, the source of the bracha, we mentioned Eretz Yisrael, we mentioned Shabbos, and we mentioned the tzaddik. What is the tzad hashava shebashehem? What is the single thread that unites all three of these and that makes up Eretz Yisrael and Shabbos and the tzaddik? It's called emuna, the word emuna. We know that Eretz Yisrael is the land of emuna. The pasuk says, Shchon Eretz u're'ei emuna, live in the land and be pastured, be nourished with faith. We know that the tzaddik is emuna. The pasuk says, V'tzaddik be'emunasa yichye. The tzaddik lives with his faith. And we know that Shabbos is the sign of emuna. The sign that a person believes in Hashem is Shabbos. When a person takes out all their money, they put aside all their money, they close their business, and they live better than all 6 days in the week. They're dressed better, and they eat better, and they're happier and more confident than all sick than all the other days of the week.
Good morning, Rabbi.
Good morning.
Is there a specific avodah on Shabbos that enables us to really connect to Shabbos and receive the major brachot that come from Shabbos that you can think of and share with us today?
I would start with the one item that I just mentioned called emuna. That Shabbos is a day when we're focusing on our emuna. When we get dressed up, what am I getting dressed up for? What is all of this stuff? It's to express the fact that I believe that Hashem created the world in 6 days, and he rested on the seventh, and he created it from complete nothingness, from zero, yesh me'ayin. And just like he created it, he's operating the world. It's not the stock market, it's not the economy, it's not the president, it's not... Hashem is running the world and everything in it, including me and my family, everything that relates to us. Emuna. Number two, simcha. And those two go together. The Zohar HaKadosh says that the declaration of faith in Hashem, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, the first letters of the word Shema, the Shin Mem of Shema, and the Aleph Ches of Echad make up the word Esmach, I will be happy. When a person is unhappy, it's because they don't believe in Hashem. They don't believe that the greatest thing in existence, that there's a Hashem who made everything, and Hashem is the greatest of all, and he's my daddy, and he loves me more than any other nation in the world. He's chosen our nation more than... So the Simcha of Shabbos, from Friday morning, you know, and even throughout the 6 days of the week, to be able to be happy, looking forward to Shabbos. I'm looking forward to Shabbos when we're going to see Hashem more clearly than any other day in the week. The emuna, the simcha, and the tefillah, and the Torah, and the eating. All of these things, by doing them with emuna, with simcha, that it's making it special, that my wife and children, everyone sees that this doesn't resemble another day in the week. We dress differently, we eat differently, we sing zmiras at the meals, we speak, the Gemara says, v'daber dover, that the dibur of Shabbos should be different from the dibur of the week. We're careful not to speak about things that shouldn't be spoken about on Shabbos. These are the avoidas.
Amazing, thank you.
Sure. We said that kates, that end, the end to the darkness, represents the pigam of Taivas Momoin, which comes from the pigam of the Meraglim, Shenemar Bohem Yoim Lashono Yoim Lashono, where Hashem said to them, for every day there'll be a year. Uparei choylem, Parei is dreaming, v'hinei oimed al hayor, and he's standing on the river. We've mentioned this in the past, but it's something that many people aren't aware of. It's a beautiful thing to share with your family or friends. In the dream, when the Torah presents the dream, it says Parei was standing on the river. When he told over the dream to all of his magicians and people, he changed this one detail. And he did it also when he told over his dream to Yosef HaTzadik. If you take a look later in the parsha, he tells Yosef that I had a dream and I was standing al sfas hayor. I was standing at the edge of the river. And Yosef says, excuse me, you have a short memory. In your dream, you were not standing at the edge of the river. You were standing on the river. And when Paroi heard that, he said, whoa. This guy knows what he's talking about, because all the others didn't know. No one caught that because they didn't have Ruach HaKodesh. They didn't have the Divine Spirit. Yosef HaTzadik saw the video real time. He saw it with Paroi, so he knew exactly what the dream was and he knew exactly how to interpret the dream. So again, Paroi is standing on the river. Rav Nosson Zal explains now, Paroi, Zeh HaMeshuka B'Taivas Momoin, Shenikra Paroi. The name Paroi represents a person who is steeped in this wrong type of obsession for money, which is referred to as Paroi. Why? Ki taivas mamoin hu avoidezora mamish, kama shukosuv Rabbeinu Zal b'Torah Tzvi Sotzedek. That this wrong type of obsession and worship of money is called idol worship, as Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this over there in chapter 23. The Torah refers to it as Elilei Kesef ve'Elilei Zov, idols of gold and silver. Ve'ikar hu avodah zarah shehu taivas mamon nimshach mechet ha'egel. And the main source, origin of avodah zarah is from the golden calf, which is Taivas Mamon, which originates from the golden calf, She'asu lahem Elokei Zahav. They made for themselves an idol of gold. Shehu b'chinas Taivas Mamon. That's what the wrong type of desire for money is. On the American coins, it says, in God we trust. Who's the God? This is the God. This is it, the dollar. Ki gam chet hamaraglim nimshach michet ha'egel. Because even the sin of the maraglim was an extension, was a continuation of the sin of the egel. She'oz chazru u'mashchu hayetzahara aleihem. Because it was at the time of the golden calf that they drew the yetzahara upon themselves again. The Gemara and the Zohar HaKadosh tell us that from when Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, there was a tumah that the snake injected into Chava. That tumah continued from generation to generation until Har Sinai. When the Jews stood at Har Sinai and they received the Torah, that tumah ended. It came to an end. When we got involved in the Egel HaZohav, that tumah came back. It returned. It returned to the Egel HaZohav and it was reactivated by the sin of the Meraglim, Rachman al-Islam. Kamo Yisham Rabbi Senezal, as the Gemara tells us, Ukama Shapirish Rashi, and as Rashi points out in speaking about the Meraglim, Shegzeira Soarboim Shona Shoyu Bamidbor, Nigzar Kfar Mecheto Egel, that the decree that Hashem made that the Jews would have to spend 40 years in the desert, that was already initiated from the Egel Hazohov. Kiho Bahotalia, because these two depend on each other. Ki Pigam Hamaraglim Nimshach Micheto Egel, Kemuvim Besforim. The sin of the Meraglim, that lack of faith in Hashem, that lack of faith in Eretz Yisrael, goes back to the Egel Hazov, lack of faith in Hashem, lack of faith in Moshe Rabbeinu. V'chol zeh hu b'chinas Taivas Mamoin. And all of this is associated with Taivas Mamoin. V'alkei Nikra Paroi. This is why it's referred to as Paroi, Loshen ki Paroi Aharon Lishimtza. The Pasuk says about the Egel HaZohav that Aharon HaKohen uncovered the shame and embarrassment of Klal Yisrael. Paroi means to uncover. Hanemar Be'egel, which is written about Aharon HaKohen's participation in the Egel. Shehu Avodah Zarah Shel Taivas Mamoin. And note that word Paroi is used, the exact same letters as the word Paroi. Gam nikra hameshuka b'momayn paroi, another reason why those people who are obsessed with money are called paroi, miloshin piroin. Piroin means payments, because they're always making payments. Ki hameshuka b'tayves mamayin hu bal choiv tamid. Those people who are steeped, who are obsessed with money, they're always in debt. They always extend themselves more than they should. They live beyond their means. They borrow, and they're always in debt. V'tomid torud l'shalim peiroin. They're always making payments. Always occupied and pressured with making payments. Kanira b'chush. As we see in real life, Rav Nosson Zal says, Sheroiv ho'ashirim chayeyom einom chayim meribui hapiroin shalehem. That the majority of wealthy people are always, their life is not living because they're always, their payments, all over the place, payments. Shetzrichen kimat b'chol yoim lahachzer peiroin. Every day they're involved in making sure they cover this and cover that and cover this. Ve'ein lohem chaye shor. They don't have, they're never living in the present. They're never able to enjoy now. Because they're always worried about the payments that are coming up. Payments on the house, payments on this, payments on that. There's never a concept of paying something in full and not owing money. I mentioned this before, and I mentioned it recently, and it's so special. My Rebbe Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Avrocha, was incredible in many, many ways. One of the unique, incredible things that I saw by him was that he was financially poor. He lived in a one-bedroom apartment when I met him. Four children, two boys, two girls, sleeping in one bedroom, sharing one bedroom. And the rabbi and his wife slept in the living room. There was a couch that they had during the day, that during the day was a couch. Every night they would take it out. It became a high-riser, two beds. And he didn't have one iota of any extra furnishings in the house, nothing at all, no silver, no gold, none of that stuff. And clothing, very exactly what he needed, not one extra stitch of clothing. Him and the family lived very, very simple, extremely simple. And like everybody else, he did have a phone, he did use electricity in the house, he did use gas. And you get bills. In the United States at that time, you got a bill in the mail. This is before email and before you got a bill in the mail every month that you owe $35, $50 for telephone, for electric, for gas, for water, all of these bills. What did Rav Rosenfeld do? He didn't have the time to devote to these things. Once a month is too much. So he sent them $500 to the phone company, $500 to this, $500 to that one. And every month, he got a bill saying how much they owed him. He had a credit for $470. The next month, the credit was $420 exactly. This is how this incredible Talmud Chacham lived. He didn't rob any banks. He wouldn't accept gifts. He worked and his wife worked. But because he lived like this, Hashem gave him the ability to do this. That he never owed anybody. He didn't owe the phone. They owed him. The phone company owed him. And the electric, all of them owed him. I never saw this just about by anybody else. There are people always looking to push off the payments or make it more payments. The rich people, how many payments can I split it up into? I'll be in debt. I'll mortgage for 30, 100 years. Chas v'sham, rachmona litzlan, you know, et cetera, et cetera. This was an example of the level of emuna and bitochin and living without debt, being indebted only to Hashem, not to anybody else. That when a person has the opportunity to pay for something, pay it, and now less debt, indebted only to Hashem, nobody else. V'zeh paroi choylem v'hinei oimed al hayoyer. Paroi has a dream and he's standing on the river. What river was this? Yo'er Mitzrayim Hunilus. The river he's speaking about there is the Nile River, which was the foundation of the economy of the land of Egypt. And it still is. It still is. Eretz Yisrael is in the mountains. Egypt is down, as low down as you can go. And Egypt doesn't have rain that much. Their whole source of agriculture is based on irrigation coming from the Nile River. Shehoya Paroi Oisa Oisa Avodezora. Paroi made the Nile River and himself into idols. Rav Nosson Zal says, Hainu Taivas Momoin, Shehu Avodezora. This is Tavis Mamuch, which is an idol. She'oimer koichi va'oitzem yodi osoli alachai lazeh. Where a person says, it's my strength. I built this. I made all of this wealth. K'moy paroi she'oso hanilus leloka. Like paroi who made the Nile River into an idol. The Nile River would rise up, overflow, and irrigate the whole land of Mitzrayim. The whole tuv Mitzrayim mehanilus, and therefore the whole economy of Mitzrayim came from the Nilus. And Paroi made it into an idol. Kiloi hoya mamin shekol abrocha v'ashirus hakol rak me'Hashem yizborach. He didn't believe that the whole blessing and all wealth comes from Hashem. Rak oso hanilus l'avoydezoro. V'ze b'chinas v'avoydezoro shel taivas momoim. And this is the same idol and idol worship of those people who worship the dollar or the shekel or the euro or the economy. Shehamomoin hu avoydezoro etzloi. Where the money becomes an idol. As if it's my efforts, my business, my work that generated this money. Vizehu, and this is why the pasuk says there, Vihine min hayoir oiloi sheva poris toivois, vesheva poris rois. There came forth from this river seven good fat cows and seven skinny ugly cows. Ubolu porois haroyois es hatoivois. And the ugly, skinny ones swallowed the good ones. Shehu remez shehora dahainu taivas momoi shubachina sheva shnei horov boileya es kol ha'ashiru shaloyim. This hints us that the evil, the wrong type of obsession with money will eat up and destroy any blessing that the person has, any money that the person does have. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, vatovoino el kirbeno, that the good cows were swallowed up and digested by the bad cows, v'loinoida kibo el kirbeno, and they disappeared completely. The skinny cows remained skinny, gone. Ki kol ma sheyeshlo yoiser, yeshlo daigas yoiser, because those people who have this wrong attitude about money, the more money they have, the more they get more income, raise a bit more money, you see that they have more worries, more insecurities. Ki'ilu hu ani mamish. You'd think the guy was in the poorhouse. As we explained before, v'chol zeh i'efshe l'sakein elo al yedei Yosef. And the only way that a person can overcome this and correct this is through Yosef, bechinas hatzadik ho'emes, the true tzadik, shehu noisein eitzo laharbois bitstaka. Tzadik is associated with tzedaka. He's the one who teaches his people the great, incredible benefit of giving tzedaka. Shal yidei zeh mesaknen taivas momoin. That corrects this problem, this obsession inside the person. V'zoichen lahamshich shefa kfula me'aretz Yisrael. And the person is zoiche to be able to connect to and draw that double portion from Eretz Yisrael. K'may shekosuv le'inyin meiser. As the Torah writes about a person giving meiser, giving 10% of their income earning to tzedaka, which is the base of tzedaka. Shehu tzedaka. What does the Torah say? Hashem says, u'bechanuni no bazois. Please test me regarding this mitzvah of meiser. Give your meiser, v'hari koysa lechem brocha ad belidai, and I will shower upon you blessing to the point where you'll be screaming, enough, enough. Hainu b'china shefa kfula. This is this double shefa, shehu tikun taivas momoin, which is the tikun for the obsession with money, where never enough. V'zehu, and this is why Yosef HaTzadik said to Paroi, Yase Paroi, this is what Paroi should do. V'yafke pikidim, appoint gaboi tzedaka. Have tzadikim who are qualified, who know what tzedaka is. V'chimesh, and teach those people who can afford it to give chimesh, to give 20%. Kimavur kol ze le'el bayar hetev. As Rav Nosson Zal had explained all of this earlier, very, very well. A few notes before we take questions. When I was looking this over yesterday, I was curious. This word nilus is a word that's mentioned throughout the Torah. The word Nilus is exactly Begematria Yosef, 156. So a person has a choice. They can connect to Nilus. They can be in Taivas Mamayin. They can believe in Koich, our economy, our money, our this. Or they can search for and find and attach themselves to Yosef, who is Begematria two times Lechem, who's that Shefa Kfula, who is Eretz Yisrael, who is Shabbos. That's the choices here. There's Nilus, Ze Lu'uma Ze Oselikim. You always have this one versus that one. One of the last Divrei Torah that I was privileged to hear from my Rebbe, Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Levracha, when he was very, very sick, a few months before he passed away. He passed away on Yud Aleph Kislev. And he was in Eretz Yisrael, and I was in America at the time. And he told me that he wanted me to give the shir that he usually gave on Rosh Hashanah. He told me that he wants me to give that shir. And he said to me, there's one thing I'd like you to include in the shir. Because one of the most important things that he taught all of his students was the importance of tzedakah and meiser, especially meiser. That your meiser should go to Breslov, to make sure to give your meiser in order to be able to support the things that Rav Rosenfeld was supporting. The Kollel in Yerushalayim and all the Breslov things that he wanted to be part of. So he said to me that we know that in the Torah, where the Torah presents the mitzvah of meiser, it's in Chumash Dvorim, I believe in Parshas Re'eh, where the pasuk says there, aser te aser es kol tvua sarecha. Give 10% of all of your tvua, all of your harvest, all of your everything. And it says it twice, aser te aser. And the Gemara speaks about this, the Medrash and all the Sforim speak about this. One of the explanations of it is, aser, give your tenth, te aser, te asher, you will become wealthy. That this is what will give you the bracha, this will give you the blessing. But Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Levracha, mentioned, I don't remember the source that he quoted from, that we know Yaakov Avinu, who is the Bechir Sheba'ovois, the choicest one of Avram Yitzchok Yaakov, and he's actually a composite of all three, as we've mentioned before. He had two names. One name is Yaakov, which has the word Ekev in it, which is the heel of the foot, the bottom of the bottom of the bottom. And his other name is Yisrael, which is because he was able to battle against an angel and defeat the angel. And the word Yisrael is comprised of two words, Li Roish. I am the Roish, I'm the top, the opposite of Ekev, which means that a Jew can either go to the bottom of the bottom, Chas V'Shalom, or to the top of the top. So the question is, how do we acquire this title Yisrael? How does one acquire this incredible title, B'nai Yisrael? And he said it's this mitzvah specifically of giving Meiser that gives a person this honorable crown, this title Yisroel. Because the words Aser to Aser, if you'll add up the numerical value, it's Begematria 540 and 1, 1,000. 1,540. We know that in Hebrew, Aleph is 1 and Aleph is 1,000. So Aser to Aser is 1,540. The word Yisrael is 541. That this title Yisrael is acquired by a person being zeche to be strong in this mitzvah of Meiser, giving, being careful, any earnings, any gift that a person acquires, to separate at least the 10%, and this belongs to Hashem. This will be given to the poor people or to the different causes of tzedakah. And Rav Nosson Zal mentioned here the union of gaboy tzedakah. The Shulchan Aruch says one of the highest forms of tzedakah is when the ones who are receiving don't know exactly who gave it, and the ones who gave it don't know exactly who's receiving it. How? There's an intermediary. There's someone in between who knows both and someone who's qualified to know how to deal with tzedakah. That the tzedakah should be given properly, the right way, to the right places, etc. And Rav Rosenfeld wanted this mentioned to all of his Talmidim, you know, to be able to know that he wanted us to continue this. And Baruch Hashem, from that time, it was continued, and all the things that he supported continue to be supported till today. In addition, Breslov at that time, there were maybe 3.5 institutions and maybe 50 poor people. Today there's maybe 3,000 institutions, B'liya and Hara Kein Yirbu, and there's thousands, maybe tens of thousands of Talmidei Chachamim, Yirei Shamayim, people that are really qualified and deserving of being supported, being helped. We should be Zercha to the bracha, to all the bracha that comes from connecting to Eretz Yisrael, to Shabbos, to the Tzaddik, and to this mitzvah of Tzedakah. Any questions, please?
On one end, I'm told to go to work, and I see that it's my efforts that help me generate the income flow that I need. If I stop working, I'm in deep trouble. Or maybe not. That's where I'm holding right now. But and on the other hand, I'm not allowed to say kochi veotzi miyadi asali et achai lazeh. How do I resolve this paradox?
Beautiful point. I was on the phone a few days ago with a friend of ours, yours and mine, from Montreal, Canada, just like where you originate from, the holy city of Montreal, where the Jews living there and the shuls and the make it holy. You know, it's not Eretz Yisrael, but a mutual friend of ours who made Aliyah just like you did, Baruch Hashem, and lives in Tzfas today. And was working, he told me he was working for a company, an investment company, and the company was doing great for the past 2 years. The company was making a lot of money, he was getting paid well and everything, and the company closed their doors Friday, last Friday. Everyone fired, everyone out, because the wealthy people that had put money into this company, whose money were there, millions of dollars, pulled out their money because they're in panic mode now. Everybody's terrified, corona, bagels and lox, there are all kinds of things going on in the world, Trump and this, and so the world those people that don't necessarily believe in Hashem completely are in panic mode. And right away they want to grab the money and hold on to it because, again, it's my money. It's my money. So he said he was very happy, and he's thinking of different possibilities. One possibility is starting his own company based on the experience he had, you know, here, etc. And he was just in a very, very good mood. And his uncle heard about it, and his uncle said, I can't believe you're alive. I'd probably kill myself. I'd commit suicide or, you know, something, at least that, or maybe worse, you know. If I suddenly, company went, you know, just closed its doors and I don't have a job, etc. And this was an example. This was an example of a Breslover, a person who believes in Hashem, believes that it's not my company and it's not my work. The reason why we go to work is because Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, and Hashem issued a curse, Be'itzavoin toichalena, Be'zeasapecha toichalechem. There's a curse of work and there's a source of money. Sometimes, in order that there should be Bechira, Hashem and the Satan make it look as if it's one, as if it's the same thing. You go to work, you have money. You don't go to work, you won't have money. It's very simple, right? It's not simple at all. It's not simple. There are people who lost their jobs. There are people whose businesses failed, and they thank Hashem to this very day that it happened, because this business failed, Hashem sent them some other business. Now let's get back to the story. This person has a relative still living, who was living in Montreal, who had a real estate business and was making money, doing well, everything good and well. But because of the panic going on today in the world, and especially in Canada, no real estate business, this, that, what do you do? What he didn't do was he didn't panic. He didn't, because again, he knew, not my money doesn't come from the real estate. My money comes from Hashem. That's a means. That's not an ends. So he looked around. He was thinking. And Hashem put the thought into his mind about masks, buying masks and stuff. And sure enough, he went into it. He bought masks, millions, you know, and other corona-related stuff. And he said he's making 10 times as much money now as he was doing in the real estate business. These are examples of a person believing in Hashem, knowing that Hashem is the one that's giving the money. I go to work because of the curse of Yegias Apecho, but in terms of my faith, do I believe that it's my work that's giving me the money or Hashem that's giving me my money? It's only Hashem, only Hashem. One of Rav Rosenfeld's students, 45 years ago, was working for the city of New York. And he was single at the time. He wasn't married. He was making money. He was working in computers. And he said to Rav Rosenfeld, he's living in his parents' house. He didn't need money. He wants to give Meiser in advance. Like he knows how much he gets paid monthly. So instead of giving, let's say, the $500, he's going to give $2,000, pay Meiser in advance for the next 4 months or 6 months. At that time, we can check the dates. There was a crisis in New York, and the city had to fire thousands of employees, all kinds of things. In his group, many of his colleagues got fired. His boss got fired, and he kept his job. And Rav Rosenfeld heard about this at the time, and he said, look at this. He gave his Meiser that he couldn't be fired. You know, that's just what happened that day. That student went on afterwards to open his own business, you know, to do something much on a much higher level. And Kanai Nahara did very well financially, besides religiously, I'm talking about. These are examples of faith in Hashem. Rav Nosson Zal quotes a pasuk, Betach b'Hashem va'asei toiv. The pasuk says, trust in Hashem and do good. And Rav Nosson Zal says, it's a contradiction. If I tell my son, trust me means I'm taking care of it, stay out of it. So then what's the asei toiv? What does Hashem want us to do? And if I'm going to work and I'm building, then where is Hashem in it? And Rav Nosson Zal explains that there's two steps. Step one is the etzah, knowing what to do. What business, what work, in each framework, whatever it is of parnasa, knowing what to do, you know, the idea, the concept, the idea. Step two is implementing it. The idea is only from Hashem. Some of the smartest people in the world made bad investments and lost millions of dollars with their brains or with their stockbroker's brains or whoever it was. And there are some people that are very limited knowledge, you know, very limited, that are multimillionaires or billionaires, some of them, etc. So the idea that the one to turn to is only Hashem, to pray to Hashem, guide me, give me a tza tova, what I should do and where I should do regarding parnasa. When Hashem gives a person something, the person is required to put in some effort, but reasonable effort. Reasonable, not steeped, not obsession, and not thinking that if I work an extra hour, that's going to ensure that I make more money. There are sometimes that a person stays an extra hour at work, person comes to work in the morning, at whatever their job business is, and the person loses that day of work, they lost $100,000, and the person says, I would have been much better off staying in bed. If I would have stayed in bed, I would have had another $100,000. Because I went to work, I lost $100,000. So never to forget that it's Hashem. It's Hashem, it's Emunah, it's Shabbos, that's the source of bracha. It's Eretz Yisrael, it's the Tzaddik, that's the source of bracha.
Beautiful, thank you.
Anyone else, please?
May I ask a quick question, Rav?
Mm-hmm.
Halavai, if everyone had a Breslov approach. With this pandemic, everyone talks about the sickness and the destruction, but essentially, we couldn't learn remotely with you, and it seems more like a bracha. I mean, I'm not saying people should die, but it seems to me like this corona is pushing people to really see, like, what you said. Can you comment on this?
The answer is it's true. Rabbi Nizal makes a statement, Mi sheyesh loy emuna chayov chayim. A person who has real faith, their life is really called living. And he says, because when things are going good for the person, they're happy, they're living. When things are going not good for what people perceive as not good, they're also living. And sometimes they could be living better. This shir that we are learning today, a very close friend of mine who lives in Ramat Beit Shemesh, we used to learn together on the phone once a week, then twice a week. And when this pandemic started, he said to me that he has more time to learn. Can we learn more? I said, yes, gladly. How much more? 6 days. We'll do it every day. I said, I need it very much. It started like that, and then it evolved, thanks to Hashem and thanks to people. And we have people learning 6 days a week, an hour of Likutei Halachos. That's like 1,000 hours of any other sefer, you know, and learning B'chabura like this. People learning a group like this, which again is millionfold different than a person learning by themselves or two people learning together. the tzaddik and Eretz Yisrael and Shabbos can turn anything into bracha. Everything can either be bracha or klala. You know, Hashem says, I put re'ei, nasati lechem lefnech mayon, bracha klala. Both are in front of us. Hashem says, choose the bracha. So whenever there's a curse, a person can chas v'shalom look at it as a curse, or a person can look at it as an opportunity, a challenge, you know, that kind of thing, to make me better. A yerida is a prerequisite for an aliyah. We still pray that this pandemic should come to an end, that people shouldn't get sick, people shouldn't die, and that if the statistics that we're being told are true, or to whatever extent they're true, that Hashem should have rachmonas on Klal Yisrael and the world, because the world is in a state of confusion, and we hope that we'll be zecha to the geula, the final geula, when the whole world will see Hashem, and the tzaddikim and the real emunah.
You really have to come to the shir to have a moon, because if you want to make it through the pandemic, you really need, we need these teachings, because you could lose your mind.
100%.
So Hashem has kind of forced that.
This tzaddik, Rabbi Nachman, said that from me until Mashiach, there'll be no news. Meaning that he said he's providing the prescription. He's providing what Klal Yisrael will need to carry them from him till until the Mashiach. These books, these sforim, these teachings are the medicine and the wealth and the light that Klal Yisrael needs to carry us through until Mashiach. That's what we believe. A wonderful day to all. A good Geben Shchodesh, not a day. Today's Rosh Chodesh Shvat. We should be zeichet to Simcha. This month we're going to be eating the fruit of Eretz Yisrael, hopefully the peiros of Eretz Yisrael. It's obviously a special time to connect to Eretz Yisrael, to Hashem, to Tzadikim, to the Torah. We should be zeichet that this month should be filled with good news and Simchas. It's Hashem.
Amen.
Chodesh Tov. Amen. Chodesh Tov.
Thank you very much.
All the best. All the best.
Chodesh Tov, thanks for Nosim.
Sure, Chodesh Tov.
Thank you so much for Nosim.
Good Chodesh. Good Chodesh, too.
Good luck, everybody. Thank you.
Amen.